This message comes from NPR sponsor, Hulu. Based on shocking true events, the new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, tells the story of a savage murder in a small town. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
Coming up, office mice, cat queens, and rat kings you'll want to snuggle. I'm Emma Choi, and this is Everyone and Their Mom.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emma Choi, and welcome to Everyone and Their Mom, a weekly show from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. This week, we're discussing a big, tiny problem with comedian and the person I would most like to see play the next Batman. It's Atsuko Okatsuka. Hi, Atsuko.
Hi, Emma.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, that would be cool. I want to be the next Batman because that would mean I'm rich and have a butler.
And you're going to be just like Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I am so excited to talk to you about this story. So the people who work at the FDA, you know, the people who make sure our facilities aren't overrun with mice, apparently went home in March 2020 and left a bunch of snacks and food behind, which ended up being an all-you-can-eat buffet for the area's rodents, which is ironic because all of my favorite buffets closed instantly during the pandemic.
Humans couldn't go to buffets, but mice were going to town.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a real Ratatouille-esque twist in that the people who are in charge of, quote, ensuring the safety of our nation's food supply got some, like, hands-on experience with pest control.
And this is how I learned what the FDA does. Because I was like, oh, that's what they do? Of course.
I mean, how are they going to fix this? Because I kind of feel like they should send in owls to get the mice. And then to get the owls, what preys on owls? They should get a Bengal tiger to eat the owl. And then, I don't know, something else.
So I don't know where you stand. Most of my days sound like Snow White, kind of like telling jokes to myself and the trees. And, you know, because I'm a stand-up, so I practice. I have to practice my jokes. And so nature comes to me, you know. Most of my days it's really like, oh, this squirrel came up to me. Or, you know, this bee buzzed in my face for a few minutes and then flew away. Like, truly, my husband says most of my days sound like Snow White. So I actually, you know, I think mice are really cute. I know a ton of mice, I'd be like, sure, that's a problem. So what would I do? I'm such a child in an adult's body. I would call upon a real adult, someone like my husband, to be like, what'd I do?
Yeah, I think I'm a real feminist until there's a mouse in the house. And then I get my boyfriend to chase after it. You know, like that's the one time I will, you know, revert to gender roles.
Yeah, I think there's like a phone number we call.
There is a number to call, and we called it. Just to start off, will you introduce yourself to us?
I'm Cameron, exterminated here in New York City.
And I want to be clear, you are our producer Nancy's actual exterminator, right?
Yep, that's how we met, yeah.
That's so funny. Okay, so just between you and me, on a scale of an IKEA being number one to a 10 being the Times Square subway station, how bad is Nancy's apartment infested?
She is definitely below a one.
Really? It's not that bad?
No, it's not bad at all. I think she technically doesn't need me. I mean, this is New York City. You're going to get something. You're going to get mice. You're going to get roaches. You're going to get something.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're an exterminator in New York City, a place famous for being disgusting. What's the most surprising thing that's happened on the job?
I would say some of the filthiest apartments that I've been in my life. And then they ask you, hey, how can I get rid of the roaches and the mice? Well, we can start by cleaning first. Like,
it sounds like a lot of your job is just being like a therapist and life coach too.
Yeah, you hear a lot of sob stories. Like, you walk in, like, yeah, it's only like this because I haven't been able to clean because I've been sick.
Yeah.
Okay, no, you're usually like this all the time. You just started cleaning because I walked in here.
Yeah. That's funny. This is a weird question, but have you ever seen a rat king before?
A rat king?
Do you know what a rat king is?
No. You're talking about a huge ass rat, yeah, I've seen a few.
A rat king is like when a bunch of rats, all their tails get tiled up together and they become one big rat superorganism.
Oh, nah, I ain't seen no Pokemon fused together. I didn't see a gang of rats come out at one time. Like, I was about to get jumped into a gang.
But they're all wearing bandanas?
Yeah, there was like one right after the other one. Like, one would have like part of his ear ripped off. The other one would have his tail cut off. I'm like, oh. I've really been through some stuff over here.
Yeah. Wow. I don't even know you, but you're also the bravest man I know. I mean, I feel like you have to be really brave to be an exterminator. Do you consider yourself, like, a brave person?
No, not one bit.
Really? Why not?
Because I try to avoid getting in real contact with them as much as possible. If I can do the job without having to actually run into a rat,
yeah,
is best benefit for me.
You seem like you love New York. Like, you feel like a caretaker to New York. What else do you get up to in the city?
Oh, I'm a musician too. I'm a rapper.
What?
So, yeah.
Do you ever take inspiration from your work?
Not exactly inspiration, but along the way I have met a lot of people that, you know, it's benefited me. Like, you see, you go into people's apartments and you just happen to notice that they got a bunch of music equipment there. Like, hey, yo, what do you do? Oh, yeah. I'm a producer. Oh, word?
Yeah.
I've met other rappers that I've gone to work with and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's cool. I guess, like, no matter how famous you are, you're still prone to rats. You know, you kind of chose the equalizer job.
Yeah, rats don't know pay scale.
That's true. Cameron, do you have, like, a rapper name, or it just go by your real name?
Oh, yeah. Cameron J. That's my rapper name.
Cameron J?
Yeah.
I feel like you got to change it to Rat King now.
No. It's not happening.
Thinking about Rat Kings, Cameron's never seen one, and he sees a lot of rats. And the idea of a bunch of rats getting their tails tied together and becoming one disgusting organism seems crazy. Are they just an urban legend? We have to know. Dr. Bobby Corrigan is a well-known rodentologist. Bobby, are rat kings real?
You know, I don't think they're real. I've never met a fellow scientist that says they're real either. I've dealt with a lot of rats. I've slept in barns with rats. And I've never seen a rat king where all the tails are tied together.
Do you think they're theoretically it could happen?
Yes, I think where it may have some little bit of science is that, you know, rats might have frozen to death inside a wall someplace in some winter spot, and they get together and they do hug or mugger. It's called huggering, where they all huddle together to share body warmth. Maybe they died like that, and maybe those tails at that point were entangled. But if they were to get entangled easily like that, they would never survive to the point they are.
You said the term hugger-muggering. Is that a scientific term?
Well, it's a behavioral term to describe, you know, part of their success, Emma, is they have two secrets to success. Mm-hmm. One is they're not nitpicky about their food. If they have to eat pizza every single night, it's fine by them. They're not going to complain or anything, right? So they take in whatever they have to take in. I've even seen rats in Central Park eating earthworms. You know, because the litter baskets were so clean at that time. Mm-hmm. So the other secret, in addition to that, is they get together in these groups and they can fit into small spaces. You can get a whole family of rats, which is about 12 to 15 rats, into a basketball. You can fit them in one basketball, all those rats. And to do that, they hug or mugger into that tight, tight space. Mm-hmm. And it enables them to survive by not needing a big cave or something.
Yeah. I just love the word hugger muggering.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a great term. I use it all the time as let's hugger mugger and talk about things.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, you love, okay. So that's something, because when I think of a rat, I think, oh man, I don't love that. But you love rats. What, can you tell me something that would make me fall in love with rats?
Well, actually, the first thing you could do that's very quick and it wouldn't take long is get a rat pet. Get a rat pet. And you would see that rats as a species, whether in the wild or whether they're your pet, they're very, very loving. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very gregarious, and rats exhibit acts of kindness. Certain rats will go over to other rats with a piece of food. You know, if that rat is, say, an old rat and it can't move around or compete for the food, rats will bring food to that animal to sustain it. Yes, I know. So it's these kinds of kindness, just like we exhibit when we bring food to friends and families and what have you, or whatever we do to help others.
Yeah. Do they have little rat thank you cards that they send back to the rats who help them?
Yeah. You know, I would love to see that, you know, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Well, we made a game for you. Are you up for playing a little game?
Sure. Let's go.
Awesome. Cool. So you're a rodent lover and you're also a rodent controller. So we wanted to play a game we're calling Snuggle, Marry, Kill. Okay.
Okay.
So we'll tell you a rodent and you tell us if you want to snuggle it, marry it, or kill it. And it seems like... You will never choose kill. So.
Probably not.
Great. So that makes sense?
Yes.
Let's do it. Okay, cool. Field mouse, snuggle, marry, kill.
I'd snuggle.
Snuggle. Possum, snuggle, marry, kill.
I would probably marry. I'd marry a possum.
Are they just more loyal and trustworthy?
Yes. And even though they're kind of gross looking to some people and everything, they're terrific parents and know how to take care of a family.
I love that. Oh, husband material. Great. Okay, the rat from Ratatouille, Remy. Snuggle, marry, kill.
All right, so cute. How can you not want to snuggle with Ratatouille? You have to snuggle with Ratatouille.
It's Patton Oswalt, baby. Let's do it. Pizza rat, snuggle, marry, kill.
Well, I'm going to give an exception here because it's stealing food. It's, you know, running around with some of the foods that we use. It gives an image of, you know, if there's a pizza around, it's going to get it. So I'd probably have to maybe think about not tolerating that, maybe even killing that animal. I know.
Dr. Corrigan.
I know.
Are you kidding?
Oh, I know. But here's the important point, Emma. We cannot let rats and mice inside our restaurants or anywhere around our food. So the message
is we
have to stop that. Draw a line right there.
But he's a provider. He's the bread. He's a pizza winner for his family. You're telling me you don't want to marry someone like that?
Well, I do the way you described it, but no. We got to stop that.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Corrigan. I feel like I am a new rat lover. I'm going to make an Instagram fan page.
Good, good. We'll make you a junior rodentologist. And as you walk about, you have a new respect for my hope.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was so fun.
Okay.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
Okay, one thing I love about the situation at the FDA is that they're moving the workers affected by the mice to temporary desks. And I really hope this means that the mice are going to get their own tiny little office space, you know, like everything in miniature.
A tiny little bureau.
Yeah.
Yes, TLB.
I just love imagining a little office full with little mice and little desks. You know, like mice business casual is so cute.
And then their little fingers. Do mice have fingers? Their little paws moving really fast on the computer.
I can't stop thinking about the mice dressed in business casual. Could we make this beautiful dream real? Lindsay Rogers is the creator of RuPaul's Drag Race. That's RuPaul, not RuPaul, an enormously popular Instagram where she dresses her cat Layla up in drag, in clothes that Lindsay made herself. Is that about right, Lindsay?
That is true. Some people say it's God's work. I don't disagree.
So you specialize in cats, but we wanted to talk to you about another animal, right? So we've been talking about this news story that the FDA's headquarters was overrun by mice. We love picturing the mice as like little office workers. And I think it's pretty fair to say that you're an expert in making clothes for animals. So do you think a line of mouse work clothes could be a thing?
You know, if someone told me as a youth I'd be making cat drag clothes, I would say no. Therefore, yeah. Tiny mouse suits is very probable.
Yeah. What are the challenges of making animal clothes in general?
Well, I'd say the biggest challenge is they don't have shoulders, elbows, hips, like any defining shape. It's just making clothes for a tube with sticky things coming off of it.
That's so funny. So do you have like a dress model for Layla?
I have. She has a fit model that is a cat puppet that I use for draping. That gets the job done. But every new look is a new adventure. So thinking about dressing for a mouse, I don't even know where I would begin. I once made clothes for a dog, and that was the opposite. It was so gigantic. So it'd be really fun to make teeny tiny mouse clothes.
It's only like a little bit of material. Do you just like find little scraps on the floor and then fashion them into clothes?
It is a lot of scraps. I live in New York, so going to the garment district and begging for a half of a half of a half of a yard is is taboo. And then then they say, which designer? Who do you work for? And then I have to show them the cat. Then they eventually give in.
What does she most like to wear?
She's definitely like an avant-garde kind of girl. She likes the big funky numbers, but everything is designed with her comfort in mind, of course. So it's all high fashion couture in the front and clips and ties and all of that in the back. I always say she wears more editorial than ready to wear. She couldn't go down the street. She couldn't go down the runway, but she could be on the cover of Vogue, you know?
Yeah. How old is she exactly?
Layla is 18.
What? Oh my God. Wow.
Sometimes when I wonder if it's time for her to retire, when I dress her up, she's more active and happier than ever. I'm like, oh my God, drag keeps you young, girl.
Okay, here's a real question, okay? Do you think Layla could help solve the FDA's mouse problem?
She has never caught a mouse in her 18 years. One time she held a ladybug gently under her paw and then waited for me to come over, and then I put it out the window. So perhaps she could help them in coaching them into finding other activities or hobbies. So I feel like she could be a great motivational speaker.
I totally agree. I imagine like a drag cat would be so effective at like motivating the mice, being like, you don't belong in this 9-to-5 office. Like, you need to get out there and follow your dream.
Go off, sis.
Yeah. Is there anything Layla wants to say to the FDA mice?
Layla would say, if you want to be in the office, be in the office, but make sure the office wants you to be in it. It's really about being in safe spaces and just live your best mouse life.
That speaks to everyone.
It's a universal language.
It is.
Meow.
Meow. And now the most angelic part of the podcast, the credits. This show is brought to you by Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. This episode was produced by Haley Fager, Zola Ray, Lillian King, Sophie Hernandez, Simeon Nidas, Nancy Seychow, and special thanks this week to Ian Chillog, Miles Dornbus, and Updog. Our supervising producer is Jennifer Mills, and our BBL acrylic queen is Mike Danforth. My mom is Julie Choi. She didn't do anything this week, but I just wanted to say hi. Once again, Lorna White, sound, you're so good at it. Thank you. Thanks to everyone's favorite exterminator, Cameron J.
Sure, I can play some music for y'all.
Check out his Instagram at Cameron J Music. That's CameronJaymusic. Thank you, Lindsay Rogers and her cat Layla, for fixing your mouse problem and being so freaking fantastic it made me want to collapse.
I got a little mouse pep in my step now.
You have to see her and Layla in action on Instagram at RuPaw's Drag Race. That's RUPAWS_drag_race. Dr. Bobby Corrigan, you made us love rats. How did you do it?
I've always been a nature nerd, without a doubt.
You were so great. See more of Dr. Corrigan's work at Rodentologist on Twitter. Rodent and ologist, one word, okay? Go find him. And we love our co-host, comedian and bowl cut cutie, Atsuko Okatsuka.
Which I still rock.
Thank you, Atsuko. You can see Atsuko in person at the Netflix is a Joke Fest on April 30th at Dynasty Typewriter. Go to Atsuko Live for tickets. That's ATSUKOLIVE.com. I'm Emma Choi, and you can find me at WaitWaitNPR and popping Zyrtec like it's jelly beans, baby. Okay, I'm done. This is NPR.
Cameron J. Ray J.
This is a verse from my single that's out right now. It's called Yatu Sabe. And it goes, my verse goes, listen, little mama, gotta tell you that you bad, bad. Just looking at you right now, gotta have that. Love your little waist, how you want, baby, my God. Just trying to be the only song on your iPod.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch. Support for NPR and the following message come from Rosetta Stone, the perfect app to achieve your language learning goals no matter how busy your schedule gets. It's designed to maximize study time with immersive 10-minute lessons and audio practice for your commute. Plus, tailor your learning plan for specific objectives like travel. Get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.